Good evening, everyone. We want to welcome you warmly to our evening drive-in gospel outreach. We're very thankful for your presence. We appreciate your support tonight. Just to remind you, it's 88 FM on the car radio if you'd like to tune in that manner. And just to remind you too that the toilets are available if needed, just through the doors in front of us, the entrance door. The toilet's there directly in front of you. The meeting's going to be commenced tonight with the hymn, God Loved the World of Sinners Lost and Ruined by the Fall. So we'll ask the men if they'll play that hymn to us just now, please. To just seek the Lord's face together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do seek Thee at the throne of grace. We rejoice in the privilege that You've given to us. We want to ask, Father, at the very beginning of our meeting, that the presence and power of God will come down upon us. We pray, Father, that You'll be pleased to come and bless this meeting in a very clear and powerful manner. We take time at the beginning just to commit the service into your hands. We confess, Father, that we're in great need of the power of God tonight. We ask for a move, a stirring of the Spirit of God, even upon this meeting and upon this community. We want to ask, Father, that you'll use the meeting in every part. We pray that you'll use the service from the very beginning. We pray for your speaking voice to be known. We want to pray, Father, that you'll use the ministry in song. We ask you to help our sister, Colette, as she comes to sing to us in just a little while. We pray that you'll guide our sister in the messages that are brought. We're asking, Father, that hearts will be spoken to, hearts will be touched, even as our sister sings to us this evening. Our prayer is that she would know the very clear and definite anointing of the Lord resting upon the ministry and song. We want to ask, Father, that it might even guide our thoughts, prepare our hearts for the message in the gospel that is to follow. We ask thee, Father, to use even the hymns that will be played. Even as we listen to them, consider the words that are sung. We want to pray, Father, that you might speak through them. We recognize, Father, just the hardness of hearts in these days in which we're found. And we want to pray that hearts will be touched and softened and even open to receive the message of the gospel. We lift up, Father, especially the preaching tonight, that vital part of the service. We want to ask that you'll own the preaching, that the word of God will be proclaimed in the power and in the demonstration of the Spirit of God. We pray that it might be owned even to the saving of the lost. We're asking, Father, that you'll give us tonight an extraordinary meeting, not just an ordinary gathering going through the motions. We want to pray, Father, that this might be a time when God is moving, when the Spirit of God is at work. Lord, our land is in great need of your blessing, and we want to cry to thee for it. We ask thee to rend the heavens and come down. We ask thee, Father, to pour out upon us such a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Come again into this province, into this land, in salvation blessing. We remember that you've assured us that in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Thank you for our gathering tonight, enabling us to come together even as a church in this manner. We pray that you'll bless our time spent together, especially around the Word of God. We thank you, Father, for enabling us to bear this witness to the gospel, even here in this locality. Thank you for the Hutchison family, their willingness to make the facilities, the property available to the church to hold these meetings. Bless and encourage their hearts, even at this time. And Lord, we thank you for your hand upon the circumstances. We praise thee, Father, for guiding and controlling the weather for the meetings that we've held thus far. We want to acknowledge your goodness and your mercy to us. And Lord, we want to pray that you might send showers of blessing. We want to pray, Father, that you would give us even handfuls on purpose. We pray, Father, that these meetings will be owned, the seal of God, in great blessing might rest upon them. So hear our prayers, answer our cries, and continue with us now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning in the scriptures, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. The 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel. We're beginning to read tonight at verse 11. And we're going to read together down to the end of verse 24. So Luke 15, the 11th verse. Let's hear the word of the Lord. And he said, this is the Saviour speaking, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. So just closing there, the end of verse 24. And we know that the Lord will follow with his blessing this, the public reading of his word. We're delighted to welcome tonight as our guest soloist, our good sister, Mrs. Colette Denny, from our Tandragee Church. You remember we had announced last Sunday evening that our brother Denver Wilson was to be with us. He sends a sincere apology. His circumstances changed during the week that hindered him from coming to be with us tonight. So we do thank our sister for coming along at short notice to sing for us at the service tonight. From our Tandragee Church, and her husband John is with her also, we welcome them both warmly. So we'll ask Colette to come and sing to us, please.
It is lovely to be with you here tonight. You know, whether you come in short notice or whatever, it's always a privilege to sing for Jesus and to tell you what a difference he makes in our lives. You know, he's a very personal God, and he knows all about each one of you here tonight in the car. He knows what you're going through today, what you're going through this past week, and what you'll go through the next week. And as you listen to the words of this song, know that he knows all about you and he cares, and bring your needs and your burdens to him. Does he know when I am lonely? Yes, he knows. Does he know when I am weary? Yes, he knows. Does he know when I am sad? Can he see the hurt inside? Oh, it's wonderful to know Jesus knows. Jesus knows the road I travel every mile, and he knows it's every turning, every trial. So I'll go to him in prayer. He will understand and care. In my joy or in my woe, Jesus knows. Does he know the life I've wasted? Yes, he knows. Does he know the sin I've tasted? Yes, he knows. Does he know my pain is real? Does he care enough to heal? Oh, it's wonderful to feel Jesus. Jesus knows. Jesus knows the road I travel every mile, and he knows it's every turning, every trial. So I'll go to him in prayer. He will understand and care. In my joy or in my woe, Jesus knows. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Jesus knows the road you travel every mile, and he knows it's every turning, every trial. So just go to him in prayer. He will understand and care. In your joy or in your woe, Jesus knows. Take it to the Lord in prayer. You know, I trust tonight that you know the Lord as your own and personal Saviour, and that you can share all your burdens with him. If you don't know him, you know, one day soon he's going to come back to take his children home. And if you don't know him as Saviour and Lord, you'll not be coming back with him. But I trust that tonight, friend, you'll accept him as Saviour and Lord and be ready when he comes back again. I'd like you to listen to the words of this song. And my prayer is simply this, that you will be like one of the people will be in this song. So please listen to the words. Jesus said that he would come again some morning and take his children from this world of sin. Now no one knows for certain when he's coming, so get ready for the Lord could come today. This could be your last chance to find Jesus. This could be your last chance for to pray. Tomorrow it could be too late for praying. The coming of the Lord could be today. Life was filled with guns and wars, and everyone got trampled on the ground. I wish we'd all been ready. Two men walking up a hill, one disappears and one's left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. A man and wife asleep in bed, she turns her head and finds that he is gone. How could you been so blind? I never thought I'd see the day when you came to kneel and pray. I never thought that I would see the church has filled to capacity, and outside the door there's more who have never come before. Oh, what a shame that that Jesus came one day before. Now you've come one day too late, yes, just one day too late. Jesus came, now you've been left behind to wait. Yesterday you couldn't find time for Jesus on your mind. You finally came to call his name, but one day too late. Jesus said that he would come again some morning and take his children from this world of sin. Now no one knows for certain when he's coming, so get ready, for the Lord could come today. This could be your last chance to find Jesus. Yes, it could be. This could be your last chance for to pray. Tomorrow it could be too late for praying. The coming of the Lord could be today. The coming of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, friend, the coming of the Lord could be today.
Pray the Lord will bless to every heart our sister's ministry and song to us. We thank her for the blessing that she's been to us. We impress upon your heart the need to be ready, the need to be ready for eternity, and the importance of coming to know Jesus Christ as your Saviour today. We want to welcome you to our service tonight. We thank you sincerely for your presence, for your support of these drive-in meetings. We've been encouraged week by week by the attendances that we've had at this holiday time. And we want to welcome in those that are listening on the live stream as well. We do appreciate you taking the time to tune in and to listen to the service tonight. And we pray that each one, whether here at the yard or whether you're listening in on the stream, that each one will know the Lord's presence, that you'll hear the Lord's speaking voice, that you'll know the Lord's blessing resting upon you. We have been glad at these drive-in meetings that some members of our congregation have been able to come along that haven't been able to avoid it, the services in the church for a little while. We're glad to see tonight our good sister Mrs. Mary Gillespie gathered with us. We appreciate her presence. We're encouraged just to have her along at the service tonight. We pray that she will know the Lord's presence and help just in these days as well. Just to remind you of the meetings in the will of the Lord in the incoming week. Remember the special children's club, the Holiday Bible Club out at Killalea. That's commencing on Tuesday evening, 6:30 on the playing fields. It's going to run from Tuesday through to Thursday, 6:30 to 8:00 every evening. Young Jonathan Story, a student from the college, will conduct those meetings for us. Please make them widely known and encourage other children to come. And we encourage you to give as much help as possible to the workers and to the leaders over there in Killalea. Wednesday at 3 in the afternoon is the radio broadcast. It goes forth on Radio Star Country, 981 medium wave. And then at 8 o'clock in the evening is our midweek service for prayer and Bible study, and I hope to be preaching at the service myself. Next Lord's Day, the 29th of August, the morning service 11:30 in the church building in Armagh. The evening service here at 6:30 It'll be the final of our drive-in meetings here at Would You, the summer outreach that we've been conducting. And we want to encourage you to come and to be present for the final drive-in meeting of the series. The singer next Sunday night is our sister Kirsten McMullen from the Mull of Glass Church. And I hope to be preaching at both services next Sabbath day myself. Just to remind you, we leave along the front of the church, the one-way system. The men will be able to guide you as you're going from the service once it's over. And remember, there is a bucket just along the drive if you'd like to contribute to the evening offering, or if you'd like to contribute towards the expenses of conducting these meetings, you'll have opportunity to do that. And we do want to take the opportunity tonight to thank you sincerely for your giving to the work of God generally, in our man giving especially to the offerings that have been taken at these drive-in meetings. We're going to have another hymn before we come to the gospel message tonight. It's the hymn, I Was Sinking Deep in Sin. Bow together for a moment's prayer. Father, we do thank you tonight for your love towards us. We thank you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. We thank you for the love of God displayed at Calvary. And we pray, Father, for this little while that remains, that you'll enable us to lift our hearts and minds away from ourselves and away from our circumstances, and help us to think of our Heavenly Father's love towards us. Pray, Father, that hearts, even in this meeting, all that are listening to this service tonight, might be touched by the love of God, by the message of the gospel. We pray, Father, that your word tonight will go forth with great power. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, to every one that believeth, And we want to ask, Father, that following this meeting, that we will witness the power of God displayed in salvation. So hear and answer our cries. Come and help us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 15, please. The verse 24, the final verse of the passage that we read from just a little earlier. Luke 15, 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. I want to speak to you for a few minutes before the meeting closes tonight on the subject of the prodigal son. Charles Dickens, the great English writer, was once asked the question, what is the best story in the English language? And his reply, without hesitation, was the story of the prodigal son. And this certainly is a great story. It's the story that we have read of here in Luke chapter 15. Can I remind you that this is the chapter of the lost things? There's the story of the lost sheep, the story of the lost coin, and then we have read a little of the story of the lost son. So always remember that Luke 15 is the story of the things that were lost. That highlights for us that God is interested, God is concerned about those who are lost. And we want you to know tonight, if you're out of Christ, if you still know not Christ as your Saviour, if you're still lost in your sins, that God is concerned about you this evening. And it's our prayer that you might be spoken to through the meeting. Can I stress, there are still prodigals today. Not just prodigal sons, they're also prodigal daughters. And maybe this is your story. Maybe it's true to say that you're a prodigal. You're the prodigal in your family circle. Sometimes people say he or she is a prodigal when they're referring to a certain person. In other words, what they mean is that they live or have lived like this man. And maybe that's true of you. Maybe you have lived your life as this young man did. His story, the verses we've read from God's word tonight, maybe sums up your life so far. And if that is true, men and women, then we encourage you to listen carefully to what this story says, to the lessons that this story teaches us this evening. Some lessons from the life of the prodigal son I'd like you to consider. The first is a lesson about love, especially this young man's love of money. In verse 12 it says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. We see, we learn here that the prodigal son loved money. That's something that's very common, especially in this materialistic age in which we live. Just think of it, that this young man couldn't wait until his father died to get his hands on the inheritance. He was gripped with covetousness. Here's a young man and he's grabbing for money. You ask, as you think of the story, how much did he get when the father divided to them the inheritance? Well, the answer is that he got a third of his father's wealth. In the book of Deuteronomy, you learn that the eldest son received two-thirds of the father's estate, the father's wealth. So the younger son received one-third. I think we could put it like this. This young man received from his father a small fortune. But the sad thing is that his heart was taken up with money. Money was his god. Money was his idol. And perhaps the same is true of you tonight. If it is, then let me remind you of the warning of the Lord Jesus. He said that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Money's not everything, men and women. Money's not the most important thing in this world, the most important thing in this life. Money's not the most valuable thing that you possess. You need to learn that lesson. You need to understand that truth. Let me remind you tonight that you can't take your money with you. You're going to leave it. In fact, you're going to leave all of it behind you. Do you remember what Paul said to Timothy? We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we will carry nothing out. Here's one of the great certainties the Bible teaches about death, the certainty of death itself, and the certainty that you will leave everything behind you at death. It is certain that you will carry nothing out. Let me stress, men and women, there are things in this world, in this life, more important than money, things that are much more valuable than money. And I want you to think tonight especially of your soul, the value of your soul. The Savior said, he warned, what would it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You just think of how awful that would be for you to lose your soul, regardless of how much money you may amass and may possess here in this world and in this life. Can I say to you, men and women, that knowing it's well with your soul, that's far more important than great riches. Can I ask you this evening, do you know that to be so? Do you have the assurance this evening that it's well with your soul? Remember that money cannot save you. Money cannot get you into heaven, can't buy you a place in heaven. Money cannot buy you or purchase you salvation or the forgiveness of your sins. The reality is that there are many very rich people in hell as we meet here tonight. You just think of the rich man that we read off in Luke chapter 16. And the lesson is, money is not of any use when you come to die and when you come to face eternity. So is love. There's a lesson about his love of money. There's also a lesson about his longing. If you look at verse 13, it informs us, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. So we learn here that the prodigal had a longing, he had a desire in his heart. And that desire was to get away from home, to get as far as possible away from his home and from his family. Isn't that sad? It's always sad when a young person wants to leave home. Of course, just to highlight, the fact is that the young person may not always be at fault. They may not always be to blame. But if we were to ask tonight, why did this young man want to leave home? Well, one reason is so that his father would not see, would not know what he was doing with his money and with his life. And remember, men and women, that is still the same today. Young people don't want their parents to know what they're up to. They don't want their parents to know the way that they're living. So they move away. They move away from home. Can I stress this to you, each one listening this evening, the reality? You can get away from your parents' view. You can get away from the view of all of your relatives, all of your family members. That's something that's possible. But remember that you can never get away from God. Can I remind you of that, impress that upon your hearts tonight? You can never hide from his view. It doesn't matter how far you go. It doesn't matter what country you go to, what corner of the earth. It doesn't matter how hard you try. You can never get away from the view or the eyes of God. Do you remember what Hagar declared? Thou God seest me. It's good to remember that. It's good to remember that God sees you. Remember what Paul taught as well in the book of Hebrews, that all things, just think of the extent of that, all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God sees you, and God sees everything that you do. Do you remember what Hananiah, or Hanani, who was a prophet in the days of Asa, the king of Judah, he said, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. So we learn there that he sees everywhere. The Lord sees in every land. He sees in every direction, sees in every corner of the globe. So I want to stress that to you tonight, men and women. God sees every person. He sees every place, sees every heart. God sees everything. Your parents, your relatives may never know, may never see what you do. But remember, God knows everything. Everything you ever did do, everything that you ever will do. And it's good to contemplate that in the light of the judgment day. There's a judgment day that is coming. It's a day of accounting. It's a day of answering for the deeds done in the flesh. Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, for all these things, for all the life that you have lived, the deeds that you've done, for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. That's a solemn thought. That's something that should trouble you and concern you, especially if you're here tonight without Christ as your Saviour. So his longing. There's a lesson here as well about his lifestyle. Look at the end of verse 13. It says, and there, that's in the far country, he wasted his substance with riotous living. Just think of those two words. Riotous living. What a description, men and women. What a description of his life. What a description of his conduct. Here's a young man, and he lived a wild life. He lived as a wild man. He didn't hold back from anything. He ran after sin, and he ran after pleasure, and he ran after those things with all of his heart. Down in verse 30, mention is made of harlots. That suggests he had been involved in immoral living as well. So here's a young man, and he lived a very sinful life. Everything that money could buy, everything that the world had to offer. He had his hands full of sin, full of evil. His hands were stained black with his sin. His lifestyle was sad, it was shocking. And maybe it would be true to say that you're the same. You've lived just the same way the prodigal lived. You're guilty too of such riotous living. Your life, as you look back on it, has been dark. It has been black. And if it has, men and women, I want to tell you tonight confidently some very good news. And the good news is this, that God can save you. And he can save you from the depths of your sins. Remember what Paul said, what he taught in the book of Romans? Where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. And we want you to know that great gospel truth tonight. God's grace, think about it, the greatness of his grace. God's grace is greater than all of your sin. It doesn't matter tonight how great your sin may be, how black and dark the stain may be. It matters not how great your sin has been. We want you to know that his grace can reach you, and his grace can save you. If you look at the start of the chapter, verse 2, the scribes and the Pharisees stated of the Saviour, this man receiveth sinners. When the Pharisees stated that, they were ridiculing the Saviour. They were ridiculing him with their words and with their statement. But men and women, that is the gospel message. That is the gospel invitation. This man, the Lord Jesus Christ, receiveth sinners. And the idea is, he receives the worst of sinners. He will receive all sinners. And what that means is, he will receive you too, whoever you are, if you will come to him for salvation. So we want to urge you, men and women, to do that tonight. Come to Jesus Christ. Come to him in this gospel service. Come to Christ tonight and be saved. So there's a lesson about his lifestyle. There's one other thing. I'll emphasize one other lesson. It's a very solemn lesson. That is his loss. Verse 14 of the passage tells us, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Here's a young man, and the result of the path that he took, the result of the life that he had lived was that he lost everything that he had. And I want you to ponder that tonight very carefully. He lost his money, lost his home, lost his friends, lost his food, lost his comfort, even lost his name. There's a powerful lesson here, men and women. And the lesson is that sin doesn't prosper. A life of sin never prospers. Sin is a hard taskmaster. The scriptures declare the way of the transgressors is hard. It's a hard thing. And the prodigal learned that lesson, and he learned it by bitter experience. He learned the hard lesson in a very hard school. He learned that it's a hard life being a sinner. Do you remember what the New Testament records of Barabbas? It says that he was a robber. Barabbas was a thief. And remember that so too is sin. Sin will rob you. Sin will rob you of everything. Everything that you have. And it will take all that you have from you. And at last, then it will take your soul. Take your soul down to a lost eternity. So I want you to think of the prodigals, lost men and women. And the worst thing as we consider his loss is this. He was lost himself. He hadn't just lost everything that he owned, everything that he had, everything that he possessed. He was lost. The prodigal was lost himself. And how tragic that is. Look at the words of our text, verse 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And the truth stated again, a little further down the chapter, at the end of verse 32, and was lost and is found. So we're left in no doubt. The prodigal was lost. He was a man that was lost in his sins. And if you're unsaved this evening, we want you to know this is your condition, your spiritual condition as well. It is your present condition right now, at this very moment. And because you're lost in your sins, you need to know, we need to warn you that you're in great danger. And the great danger is that you could be lost forever. You could be lost for all eternity. How serious, men and women. How awful that is. May the Lord speak to you by His Spirit about that this evening. Just in closing, I want to tell you about a great blessing. I want to tell you some very good news. In fact, I want to tell you the best news that you will ever hear. The best news that any person could ever hear. And the news is this. There's one that's seeking for you in your sin and in your lost condition. And that one is the Savior. Luke says, a little further on in this gospel, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. How appropriate that is, how relevant. We're speaking tonight to those that are lost in their sins. And they're seeking. The Lord Jesus is seeking for those that are lost. He's a seeking Savior. And we want you to take that in, men and women. And we want you to know that He's seeking for you for this reason. Because He wants to save you from a lost eternity. So I want to urge you not to run away. Not to run away any longer like the prodigal. But to return. I want to encourage you tonight to return. Not just to your earthly father. Maybe you are like a prodigal and you've left home and family and you need to do that. Return to your father, return to your home again. But especially tonight, we want to encourage you to return to your heavenly father. Because remember, that's what the prodigal was doing as well. He said, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. So he was returning not just to his earthly father, but to his heavenly Father as well. And we want to encourage you, urge you to do that this evening. Come to your heavenly Father and ask tonight for His mercy, for His salvation. And if you do that, then verse 24 of this passage will be your testimony too. You will be able to say that you were dead and now you're alive again, that you were lost, but now you're found. The story of the prodigal son. Our prayer tonight is the Lord will use this story as it's been told again in this meeting. We pray that the Lord will use it to bring some soul to himself again in salvation. We're going to have our closing hymn. It's Charles Wesley's great gospel hymn. Just a verse of that hymn. And can it be that I should gain? Father in heaven, we do thank you for the message of your word to our hearts tonight. We thank you for your compassion, the greatness of your love, and of your mercy. And Lord, our prayer would be that you might display that mercy even in our gathering tonight as the meeting comes to a close. We want to ask, Father, that some life, even in this meeting that has heard this message, will be transformed by the mighty power of the gospel. We commit ourselves to thee. Our prayer is that you'll go with us as we leave the gathering. We commit ourselves into your hands for the week that lies ahead. We lift up the meetings in Killalea, praying that those will be a special time. Lord, work in that area. Draw in many boys and girls under the sound of the gospel. And now we ask that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit the Comforter, will be our abiding portion, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We do thank all sincerely for coming along tonight. Please remember the final meeting of these drive-in outreaches next Sabbath night. We'd be delighted to have you with us. We encourage you to come along and be present. And remember, the men will guide you just along the front of the house as you leave the meeting now. Thank you and God bless you all.